As we stand, let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Do take a seat. Last year, my wife Edda and I got a bread maker. Very exciting. What an amazing gadget. The wonderful thing is, as long as you put the right ingredients in and then select the right program, after a few hours, we'll have beautiful, fresh, fragrant bread. Of course, the other thing is true also. If you forget an ingredient or put the wrong amount in, the result will look like this. When we picked that out of our bread machine a few days ago, I said, hang on, Edda, I can use this. It's completely collapsed. It hasn't worked. We're currently exploring what a more Christ-like church looks. What it looks like, and it doesn't look like this. A more Christ-like church. And we're taking our lessons from Paul's letter to the church in Corinth. Today's main point is this. A Christ-like church enables and equips every member to play their part. A Christ-like church enables and equips every member to play their part. And when all the parts are present and active in the right way, we can offer Jesus the bread of life to a hungry world. Let's look at our reading together. Again, I'd encourage you to keep it open on the inside page of your news sheet as we will go through some of the verses there from 1 Corinthians 12. The reading starts like this. It says, the body is one and has many members. Many comparisons have been used to describe the church. I've used bread. Other people have used comparisons such as an orchestra. Paul's central image for the church is the human body. One body, many members. Many members, one body. However, there is a bit of a puzzle at the end of this first verse. If you look at it, Paul says, a body has many members and yet is one body. And then at the end, so it is with Christ. He doesn't say, so it is with the church, and we'll get back to this. Just park that for a moment. Moving on to verse 13, Paul says, for in the one spirit we were all baptized into one body. When I switch on our bread maker, it mixes the ingredients, warms them up a bit, proves them, bakes them, and then it bleeps to say, I'm ready. That's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit takes us, all the ingredients, and makes us into one body. That process begins when we start following Jesus and join a church. We are baptized into one body, and we celebrated that last week at Jamie's baptism. We're meant to be one because the same Holy Spirit has revealed Jesus to us, has drawn us to follow him, and as it were, is baking us into one bread. We are meant to be one. Last week was the week of prayer for Christian unity, and it was really poignant that Ian and Namdi were licensed during that particular week. That on Tuesday night, those of us who made it through the snow, we were worshiping God together, members of this church, members of other churches in the area, our brothers and sisters from the local Roman Catholic Church, friends and family of Ian and Namdi, including members of Nigerian churches. What a powerful statement that we are one in Christ. Now, of course, we all know that the reality is often more complicated. How much energy is wasted with conflicts between Christians, between churches, often on silly matters? Then, of course, there are also big issues that the church grapples with in every generation. They can't just be dismissed as silly. Here are some of them. How are the rich churches in the West responding to the challenges of poverty, migration, creation care? How will we re-evangelize a younger generation in our part of the world that has very little grounding in the Christian faith? How can we embrace a different lifestyle, not dominated by consumerism and individualism? And how do we respond to the big questions around sexual identity? Big questions. In a recent interview with Premier, Archbishop Justin Welby reflected on the challenges of our day and how we can live unity within that. Here is his advice. Firstly, read the Bible. Read it carefully. Seek God's wisdom. See how Jesus treated those who thought themselves holy and those who thought themselves sinners. Secondly, pray a lot, particularly for those you disagree with. Not that they may be blasted or that they may be removed from the church or whatever, but that they may be blessed. Pray for them, for the grace of God to fill them, because they are your sisters and brothers in Christ. Thirdly, love one another. Jesus said to his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Archbishop Justin says, Judas was one of them. Jesus washed Judas's feet. Read scriptures, pray, love one another. By the way, these three things, reading the Bible, praying, loving one another, are central to what happens in life groups. Verse 26, towards the end of our passage, Paul says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one is honored, all rejoice together. That can be costly, but that is the Jesus way. We are meant to be one. God's Spirit is creating a body where every part is needed. No one is surplus to requirement. No one can go it alone. Paul uses quite comical images to make the point. It would be silly for the eye to say, because I'm an eye, I don't belong to the body. Some of us will go through seasons where we feel less part of the church, of the body. Maybe we haven't been able to come as regularly as we wanted to. Maybe someone has hurt us and that creates a distance. But you are still part of the body, and the body needs you. In fact, Paul says, the so-called lesser parts receive greater respect. And of course, that's a classic kingdom principle of Jesus. Remember how the disciples were competing for the most important positions in Jesus' government, and Jesus was exasperated with them. He said, if you want to be great, serve others. A church that is more interested in posts, positions, and titles has lost the plot. We are called to serve one another and the world. Can we all look out for each other? Help one another to play our part. Affirm those whose part is maybe less visible, but no less important. When people talk to me about St. Mary's as my church, I always try to find a way of gently putting the record straight. And to remind them that it's not my church, but that together we are the church of Jesus. How important the so-called lesser parts are in the body was brought home to me recently. I checked with my GP whether my vaccination for pneumonia, my pneumovax, that I received 18 years ago was still valid, was still working. And what I learned was this. As long as I still have my spleen, I'm okay. But should I ever lose my spleen, I have to be vaccinated for pneumonia again. Did you know that? Who would have thought? The humble spleen, doing a really important job in my body, and many others. Remember how Paul starts this passage. A body has many parts and yet is one. So it is with Christ. But then he goes on to talk about the church, not Christ. Well, let's turn together to verse 27 now. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Here's the answer to the puzzle. This is such a powerful, wonderful, and scary sentence. Together we are the body of Christ. And each one a member of it. That's why Paul can talk just about Christ earlier on. Because we're called to be, as it were, the physical representation of Jesus on this earth until he comes again. What an honor. What a job. And none of us can do it on our own. We're just a finger, a hand, an eye, a foot. We're not the full body. The other day I had a conversation with a couple whom I wanted to invite to Alpha. And I asked them, have you heard of Alpha? And he said, oh, that's funny. I think it's the same thing that a friend of mine has invited me to. It's funny that you should invite me again. He's invited me to another course that's running where I live. I think I might actually go. Only God can do that, to use his body in different ways. Another example. Each of our three life groups, as you know, are hosting Alpha this term. And a week ago or so, I had a conversation with one of the three life group leaders. And she was sharing with me some of the practical ways they're going to organize their group and some really good wisdom on running the group. And I thought, I'm so glad we're doing this together. And we're sharing our gifts. Isn't it amazing how the body of Christ works together, guided by the Holy Spirit? We need one another. Only Jesus was given the Spirit without limits. We read about it in our gospel reading today. He picks up this prophecy from Isaiah. The Spirit of the living Lord is upon me. And then he goes on to say, what kingdom signs will follow? And of course, then he applies this prophecy upon himself. Jesus was completely in tune with his Father. He exercised all the gifts of the Spirit. In verse 29, Paul asks a series of rhetorical questions. Are all apostles? Are all teachers? And so on and so forth. And in each case, the answer is... Thanks, Michael. In each case, the answer is no. None of us has all the gifts, only Jesus does. We can only be Jesus to the world as his body, working together, contributing the gifts that he's given us. And then Paul, in the following verses, contributes a list of gifts. Now, that's not a complete list. In different passages in his letters, he provides slightly different lists. And sadly, this morning, we haven't got time to explore these gifts in detail. But later in the year, in the summer term, we're going to think in a sermon series in more depth about the Spirit. And I think we might even put on a seminar about spiritual gifts. But the point here is simple. God is equipping you by his Spirit so that the body of Christ can operate as it should. I'm so excited to welcome Ian and Namdi as my colleagues here at Denham Parish Church. We already, I think from the beginning, we had a sense of a Spirit-given unity. And we look forward to seeing what God's Spirit will do with us, through us. God has given you two gifts I don't have. And maybe he's given me one or two that you don't have. And we want to contribute them together so that the body can grow. But it would be toxic if anyone here thought, oh well, they've got three professionals now. I won't be needed anymore. I can sit back and enjoy and watch the performance. That would be toxic. Now, of course, there are roles in our church in the way it's ordered that only ordained ministers can do. And it's going to be wonderful to share that ministry with Ian and Namdi. But there is so much more that God is asking us to do together. And in fact, one crucial role of leaders in the church, in the words of Ephesians 4, is to equip God's people for works of service so that the whole body of Christ can be built up. One of our key roles is help you be your best, use your gifts to God's glory, not to do it for you. A Christ-like church enables and equips every member to play their part. I thank God for each one of you who is part of the body of Christ. Let's pray. Jesus Christ, thank you for this amazing honor that you give us of representing you in our world, where we are, and of doing that together. Holy Spirit of God, stir up in us your gifts. Help us to humbly use them within the body of Christ. Father God, may we be this bread so people discover Jesus, the bread of life, for themselves.